From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, March 24th. I'm Abby Larico. The second half of the 2025 Missouri legislative session begins today. In addition to passing a budget for the upcoming fiscal year, lawmakers could also pass legislation that would alter or repeal Amendment 3, which ended the state's near-total abortion ban.
I'm not sure if there's like a full unified plan yet on what Republicans should do about Amendment 3, but whatever they decide to do, it's definitely going to be met with Democratic resistance.
A preview of the upcoming weeks in Jefferson City with St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Another person being detained at the St. Louis City Justice Center died over the weekend. This is at least the 19th death of a CJC detainee since 2020. Staff found the unidentified male inmate unresponsive in his cell Sunday. He was pronounced dead at Barnes Jewish Hospital. The day before, the inmate had been treated for suspected seizures, according to Interim Corrections Commissioner Doug Burris. He was discharged back to the jail. Officials did not announce a cause of death. There will be a report from the medical examiner and the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department's Force Investigations Unit. Police said that while the investigation is in the early stages, there are no obvious signs of trauma. It appears the detainee experienced a medical emergency. The City Justice Center has had three times more deaths since 2020 than similar jails in Kansas City and St. Louis County. The North Connector portion of the Brick Line Greenway in North St. Louis along Grand Boulevard breaks ground this morning. It's part of a $245 million project by Great Rivers Greenway. As St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmidt reports, the plan is to link major parts of the city with dedicated pedestrian and bike paths.
The Brick Line Greenway will run through St. Louis's central core from the Arch Grounds to Forest Park and north to Fairground Park. Construction on that section along North Grand and a part of Spring Avenue will likely take a few years to complete. Great Rivers Greenway CEO Susan Troutman says the project will be a major transformation for North Grand.
We're going to have to rebuild everything. New greenway, new roadway, new sidewalks. It's a total overhaul. So we'll be going down from 5 lanes to 1 lane each direction and a center turn lane.
Troutman says the goal is to make the area safer for people walking or on bikes and provide a foundation to attract new businesses to a part of the city that needs them. She says construction starts in earnest in May and will last about 2 years. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Aerospace giant Boeing got a much-needed win with President Donald Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth announcing Friday that Boeing has been awarded the military contract for the next Air Force fighter jet. The defense side of Boeing's business is based in the St. Louis region, and the contract to build the new F-47 is expected to create thousands of jobs. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page says it's one of the most exciting developments for the county in quite a while.
It's bringing high-paying new jobs to the region, a service line that is going to continue for decades, support services that will have a significant impact on the region, and it's redeveloping a part of St. Louis County that needs help.
It's also welcome news for Boeing, as the commercial side of its business has struggled recently. Rival Lockheed Martin has also beaten Boeing out for the last 2 fighter jet contracts. Illinois Democrats are working on a plan to prevent an anticipated energy shortage in the state within the next 5 years by building more energy storage. Capital News Illinois reports the legislation would incentivize companies to build batteries to store solar and wind energy. Senator Bill Cunningham says action needs to be taken before it's too late.
We produce right now in Illinois about 130% of the energy we use. So we export energy. But that's going to change. And because of the demand, because of data centers, because of quantum, because of new industrial development.
Republicans had warned their colleagues that closing coal plants would lead to energy shortages when they passed a law to move to 100% clean energy by 2050. But sponsors of the bill say Illinois can't go backward and that clean energy is the future. Spring is in the air, but around St. Louis, that means so is the stink of the invasive Bradford pear tree. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on a Missouri-wide effort to get rid of the trees.
Along Highway 64 in St. Louis County, you can see how out of control Bradford or Callery pears get. They form dense patches of white flowers. These trees aren't just invasive. They also smell bad, and they're weaker than native trees. Billy Haig is forestry manager at Forest Relief of Missouri.
So when we have ice storms, wind storms, a lot of heavy wind like we've been having recently, they're very vulnerable to breakage. So it's a hazard to humans walking by, as well as our cars and property.
For the next month, if you cut down a calorie pear on your land, Forest Relief will give you a free native tree. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri lawmakers returned to Jefferson City today for the second half of this year's legislative session. The Republican-led legislature comes back having already accomplished one of its main goals, placing the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department under state control. I spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's State House reporter Sarah Kellogg about what to expect in the coming weeks before adjournment May 16th. Sarah, now that we're at roughly the halfway point, what have been your impressions of the Missouri legislative session so far?
My impression is that it's been productive. And when I say productive, I'm really speaking more about the Missouri Senate and the House, because the House is normally always passing legislation. But it seems that everyone is more or less getting along. And, you know, how someone feels about that probably depends on the party a little bit, because, you know, the supermajority-led Republicans are probably really thrilled that they're working together and they're passing legislation. But and maybe for Democrats, they're wanting not as much legislation to get through. But at the same time, I will feel like the parties are also working together a little bit as far as collaboration and compromising. And I would say the body's kind of functioning as it should, which has been different compared to the last couple of years that I've covered the legislature.
Is that why you'd say the pace seems to be moving so differently?
Yes, I think the pace is just is a lot quicker. And I think that it's resulting in more bills from the Senate going to the House. It's resulted in new bills, you know, passing both chambers and already on their way to Governor Kehoe. And I think that, you know, a big credit to that is a change of personalities, whether it comes to either leadership. I think that Governor Kehoe actually is a little more involved than Governor Parson was when it comes to, like, day-to-day legislation compared to the budget. I just think that with some people gone that might have maybe a little butt heads a little bit more, I just think overall it's kind of just made for a quicker session this year.
Speaking of Governor Kehoe, what are some of the things that are already on the way to his desk?
So the first thing they passed this year is kind of this massive omnibus public safety bill that includes the state takeover of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. That's something that Republicans have wanted to do the last couple of years, but it's fizzled out. But this was actually a priority of Kehoe himself, and I think that kind of gave it the momentum it needed to pass, you know, both chambers this year. And it places the St. Louis Department, which is currently under the mayor's office, it places it under an appointed board. And that's just one of the bills that they passed. They also passed a really big utility bill that actually our reporter Kate Grumke covered, so you can read about that. They also passed a supplemental budget, which is probably the fastest that I can remember that they've done that. They obviously still have to pass the full budget, but, you know, the one for the rest of the fiscal year is already on the way. And I know that Governor Kehoe said that he plans to sign the police bill this week. I'm not sure about the others, but I can't imagine it takes too long.
Halfway point. So what's on the agenda for when lawmakers return for the rest of the session?
So the budget is the one thing that they have to pass. That's a constitutional obligation. And this is the first year that they aren't dealing with a ton of federal funds, either from mainly from the American Rescue Plan Act. There's infrastructure dollars. So this is kind of a smaller budget. And that's not something that they've kind of been used to. They've been able to put in money for various projects across the state the last couple of years. So we're going to see what they're going to do with that, where the cuts are going to come from, kind of how the legislature tackles the budget in general. The House has passed a ton of tax cuts, either income, personal property taxes. So I think that tax issues, there was one related to the capital gains tax. I think that's going to be a big thing that Republicans are going to look forward to as far as trying to get some tax cuts and relief for people this session. And the big question is if they're going to do anything on Amendment 3, which obviously is the amendment that enshrined abortion rights in the Constitution. There was a bill heard early this year that would have basically reversed Amendment 3, but that hasn't moved out of House committee. I'm not sure if there's, like, a full unified plan yet on what Republicans should do about Amendment 3, but whatever they decide to do, it's definitely going to be met with Democratic resistance.
Well, they're busy, but we know, Sarah, in some ways you are busier. So thanks so much, St. Louis Public Radio State House and politics reporter Sarah Kellogg, for the insight.
Of course.
You can read more about the second half of the legislative session at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.